Our Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. It was good. There was sort of a few people here as we began the service, and as the service went on, or as time went on, just before we started, we find we have a very nice congregation here this morning on this first day of the year. It's always hard to know what to preach on. If you follow the lectionary, it's quite easy, because you have set readings, set themes. But I'm not sure how brilliant I am to be able to pick this particular theme this morning, a psalm for the new year. 2023, why not have the 23rd psalm? And I really found myself this morning saying, as I was trying to find a biro, this year I must throw away some things. And I guess that will happen perhaps during this week. This year I must get around to so-and-so. Well, Psalm 23, you probably feel that you know it all. You've probably, like me, was one of the first things that you memorised after the Lord's Prayer. It is probably the most familiar and most loved of all the psalms. It's used at weddings and funerals, it's engraved on headstones, and it pops up at other places. But very few people see in it or appreciate the simplistic beauty and comfort. James, this morning one of his themes was trust, and that's one of the things that comes through this particular psalm. And it is as fresh as it was written by David over 3,000 years ago. Undoubtedly, it draws from the theme of God's covenantal mercy and faithfulness as experienced by the Israelites on two occasions. There is the theme of the Exodus, when God faithfully led his people from exile in Egypt to the promised land. God provided guidance and safety. And again, in the exile, when Israelites were in Babylon, again God, as he had promised, led his people back to the promised land. In both instances, obviously very familiar to David, God was the shepherd who led his people. While very few of us understand the role and the life of a shepherd, we're more used to flocks of sheep and now helicopters and motorbikes and so on. But I think we can, as we read this psalm, understand the actual role of the shepherd in ancient times. We can easily grab the comfort that the psalm brings, the guidance and the assurance that we read through the psalm. In times of personal need or distress, we instinctively turn to the assuring words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not be in want, or I do not lack." We know David is the author, it's identified at the beginning of the psalm. we're hardly surprised because David himself was a shepherd. His shepherding days, like his predecessor Moses, served him well to prepare him for shepherding God's flock, the nation of Israel. We know again that this was written in the more mature years of David's life. And from his vantage point, looking back, he sees vividly and lovingly his boyhood days when he kept his father's sheep. There were the green valleys, there were the peaceful streams and the dark ravines. They were clear to him in his mind. The psalm, of course, has as a vantage point the perspective of a sheep, not that of the shepherd. The psalms have been variously grouped together. For instance, there are psalms of individual and community lament. There are hymns of thanksgiving and psalms of trust. And Psalm 23 is in the category of a psalm of quiet trust in God. So who is the shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You'll notice in your Bibles that the Lord, the word Lord, is in capital letters. Where elsewhere, often, the Lord, the name Lord has a capital L, but lowercase ORD. So there is a distinction between the Lord and Lord. That is because Lord in capitals talks of Yahweh, a name which people were not allowed to mention or say. It is the personal covenant name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush when he told Moses, I am who I am. And the shepherd in Psalm 23, if you look at your Bibles, is the Lord, Yahweh, the Creator God, the Almighty, God Most High, the one true and living God, who makes and keeps his covenant and promises with his people. In the New Testament, Jesus identifies himself as a shepherd in John chapter 10, verse 11, drawing on this very rich and fresh imagery from the Old Testament. And of course, Jesus added a new element to the shepherd theme, that of the good shepherd who lays his life down for his sheep. Elsewhere in the New Testament, reference is made to Jesus as the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter, he is called the chief shepherd. And here's the weirdest thing. The shepherd was himself a lamb. Jesus, our good shepherd, was himself a lamb, a slain lamb, according to John's vision in Revelation, where he writes, Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist said, coining a phrase found nowhere else in all Scripture, but the lamb had to go through something quite horrific. A very deep and dark valley to take away that sin and blaze a path toward a life that could not be taken away. But this Lord, this our great God, our Creator, is not only a shepherd, but he is my shepherd. He is our shepherd, our individual shepherd. And this shepherd knows us intimately and individually and wants to develop a very close relationship with us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. And the sheep know the shepherd, and he provides for all their needs. Give me Jesus, and I will be satisfied. This is beautifully illustrated for us in verses 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So this shepherd of ours provides for our physical needs. Green pastures gives the impression of new grass, good grazing pasture, rich and fresh and green and full of nutrients. And he makes the sheep lie down. They are free from predators, free from tension within the flock, free of flies and parasites, and free from hunger, because the shepherd knows the physical needs of his sheep. And Jesus does the very same for us, meeting all our needs, making it possible for us to lie down in green pastures. God renews and sustains our lives. He provides rest and peace in an anxious world. Quiet waters, I think we can see that image quite clear. When you follow this shepherd, he slows you down. He helps you focus on what is important, and he gives you his peace. He provides correction and renewal when you fall. He restores, means he refreshes, he renews. He provides guidance in our lives. Sheep get lost. How often have you driven on a country road and there you see three or four sheep trying to find their way through the wire fence back to the other flock? Sheep are notorious for getting lost, for going the wrong way. And there are in life so many paths for us to take, so many ways to bring damage to our lives and to the lives of those that we love. But Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and he will show us the correct way, the right way. And God not only guides us, but he loves us, because it brings him glory as we walk in the paths of righteousness, or as we walk righteously. We are constantly making, aren't we, decisions. Decisions can be crucial and yet frustrating. There was a young man who was undergoing basic training in the army. And one day, as a form of discipline for a misdemeanour, he was given the assignment of sorting potatoes. And there was a huge mound of potatoes. And the mess sergeant told him, "Can you put the bad potatoes in this bin and put the good potatoes in this one?" When he came back in 2 hours later, he found the man still looking at just one potato. His eyes were fixed on that potato. "There's nothing in the bins." And the sergeant said, "What's the matter? Don't you like to work?" And the soldier said, "It's not the work, it's the decisions that are killing me." Well, it's true in life, isn't it? Decisions, decisions, which way shall we go? What shall we do? The shepherd gives us wisdom, and we need a wise shepherd whom we can trust and who can guide us. The shepherd assists us in the dark times of our lives. He is a shepherd in all circumstances, even when the valleys are low places, where there is darkness and where there are shadows as well. He leads me through the valley. It's a very encouraging word because it shows that the valley of the shadow of death is only a passageway. It is temporary, not permanent. Where there is shadow, there is also light. And light is stronger than darkness. And even when we go through that darkest valley, even that of death, we know that the shepherd goes with us. He doesn't give us a map or a GPS. He goes with us. He leads the way. But of course, being a child of God does not guarantee that we will have a trouble-free life. Yet many Christians get angry with God when they walk through a valley of some sort. They act as though this shouldn't be happening to me, and that they are being singled out and treated unfairly, when in fact it is the common lot of fallen people in a fallen world. Note that the shepherd leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He acts in the way he does for his own reputation. God's reputation rests upon his ability to guide and to care for his people. Just as parents are evaluated on the children that they raise and care for, shepherds are judged by the condition of their sheep and their flocks. Paul tells us that God's work of saving people by grace for the purpose of being praised to the glory of his grace. So to be Yahweh, our shepherd, means we have a God who is faithful and active in providing us with protection and safety. So Yahweh acts in the way that he does for the sake of his name, to be the person he claims to be. The shepherd's rod and staff, of course, brings the figure of protection to fight off wild animals. Again, the image is one of safety, protection, trust and assistance. When we come to verses 5 and 6, we find that there is a change in imagery. No longer is the Lord is the shepherd, but in this case, the shepherd, that the imagery is of one who is a host in their home. According to Bedouin law of hospitality, once a traveller is received into the shepherd's tent, and especially once his host has spread food before him, he is guaranteed immunity from enemies who may be attempting to overtake him. I think the point of the bit about enemies means that in the Psalms, David finds himself often being chased by enemies and those who wish to kill him. But the analogy here, or the imagery here, is that no longer are his enemies chasing him, but rather the enemies are on the outside, not participating, not pursuing. All they can do is simply watch. God invites us into his home. David is saying that the Lord is not only your shepherd in life and through death, but when your days on earth are done, God invites you to his eternal home, where he is the host and you are the guest, and where you enjoy abundant life forever and ever. Table. You prepare a table before me, speaks, of course, of the spread of food. This is a banquet place, a place where you share fellowship with the host and other guests. A special environment is created to ensure that your guests feel welcomed and honoured. You are treated as a guest and this fills your heart with gladness. Your head is anointed with oil. You are honoured as the guest. He provides unending abundance because your cup overflows. This is a gesture of generosity. The cup is not half filled, but running over. This is a picture, of course, of satisfaction, significance, and security. And God's goodness and love follow you throughout this life. Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. You don't have to wait for heaven to start enjoying the benefits of eternal life. Eternal life starts right now when we accept Christ as our Saviour. You can know this abundant life that Jesus offers in this life as well as the next. Wherever you go, no matter what happens, God's goodness and God's love will hunt you down and follow close after you. Every day, God's goodness and love are there for you. Now it is no longer his enemies who pursue you. Rather, it is Yahweh's grace and goodness that follow as long as you live. You'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, it continues. When God invites you to his home, it's for keeps. Of course, this is only good news to you if you love the Lord. There are many who don't even want to visit God's house once a week, but the godly person longs to dwell in God's home forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus is our good shepherd who will guide you through the pathway in 2023. He'll even lead you safely through the valley of the shadow of death. He will welcome you into his home forever. As I just said a moment ago, to enjoy the benefits of the care of the Good Shepherd, we must be one of his sheep. Well, as you ponder that psalm quietly in your heart, at some place, may you find reassurance and comfort and blessing.